say that I am. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. There is perhaps no question more pertinent in our entire faith than this question that Jesus asked Peter and the apostles to identify what their faith really was founded on. We go back to the hillside of Galilee when our Lord multiplied the loaves and the fishes and the people wanted to make him king. He said, I will give you my flesh to eat and my blood to drink. And many of them left him, went over the hill because this was a hard saying. They could follow him no longer. And our Lord looked at Peter and the apostles and said, are you going to leave me as well? Peter there, with the beginning of his faith, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. That was the beginning of Peter's faith because he had seen the wonders that our Lord had worked, the type of a life that he was living, the example of the crowds that followed him. Peter was a man of faith. Today we celebrate that great faith of Peter and his co-patriot Paul, a great feast of the church, the beginning of the church, and their faith was the foundation of the church on which we live. At the end of our Lord's life, he asked Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter responded three times, Lord, you know that I love you. He had that great faith because his response in faith was, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. He knew that Jesus was not just a great man, a great teacher, a wonder worker. He was the Son of God himself. Peter lived out that faith and died a martyr in Rome. And when our Lord established the church, we've just read in today's gospel, you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. He who hears you hears me. Our Lord gave that infallible promise that the church he was founding on St. Peter would be according to the mind and heart of Almighty God. Today, Jesus asks each and every one of us, who do you say that I am? And our response so easily can be, you are the Son of God. But we need to look deeply within our hearts and ask ourselves, do we really live that out? Do we really believe that with every fiber of our existence? Do we know that the infinite God has sent his Son into the world to show his infinite love for us? That he has lived that life of self-denial and suffering, leading to that terrible agony on the cross? Our Lord started his sacrifice the night before he died in that upper room. When he fulfilled that promise that he had made to them on the hillsides of Galilee, I will give you my flesh to eat and my blood to drink. When he said, this is my body, take and eat you of this. This is the cup of my blood which will be poured out for you. Take and drink you of this. But that Last Supper was continued through the next day. After he knelt on that rock in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. As he was persecuted by Pilate, as he was crowned with thorns, he was scourged with the whips, as he carried that heavy cross up the hill of Calvary, and he was nailed to that cross and hung there, pouring out his lifeblood upon our earth in atonement for our sins. That was the sacrifice not of a great saint, not of a great man, not of a wonder worker. That was the sacrifice of God himself. God is an infinite being, and an infinite being offering an infinite gift has infinite power. And that same infinite sacrifice is being repeated among us at this very moment, as Jesus' death on that cross is represented in our very midst. As we come into the church, we genuflect, in other words, saying, God, I know you are here. I know I am in your midst. You will be represented for me in short order by hanging on that cross and offering that infinite sacrifice to the Father in heaven in atonement for the sins of the world. Can we really say with Peter, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God"? Do we know that deeply in our hearts? Do we remember the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament about the Messiah who was to come? We have seen the miracles that he worked. We have seen his great wisdom. We have seen his sinless life. We have seen the testimony of friends and enemies. We have heard Jesus say himself, "You say it, I am he, the Father and I are one. No one goes to the Father but through me." Sometimes we are tempted to think of Jesus as a loving brother, just one of us, and forget that he is Almighty God himself. Our faith then needs to be based on that fact, just as Peter's faith was based on that fact. Just as Paul's faith was based on that fact, as in that second reading today, he says, "I am poured out like a libation. I have run the race. I have fought the fight. I have kept the faith. And now there is a merited crown reserved for me." Do we face Almighty God every day with that attitude in our hearts? Can we say with Paul, "I have run the race, I have kept the faith, and a merited crown is reserved for me"? That can only happen if our faith is as strong as theirs. If we can truly say, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." We are members of that church that Jesus established on Peter. He said, "On this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it." That we know that the church is the very voice of Christ in the world today. That Pope Francis, as the direct successor of St. Peter, has that same promise of infallible teaching. "He who hears you, hears me." That we may have that loyalty to the Holy Father as the voice of Christ in the world today. That we know that our faith is not simply a matter of optional style, but it is following through on that church that Jesus established, the Son of God promised, "He who hears you, hears me." His voice is still with us. His presence is with us in the holy sacrament of the altar. And when we approach the altar today in Holy Communion, we know that that is not a mere ritual. That is not a sign, a symbol, a reminder. It is Almighty God himself coming within our very bodies and souls, that we are united with him in a mystical way, members of his mystical body. We are part of that church that Jesus established and promised would last forever. The gates of hell would not prevail against it. What a comfort and joy that must be for us today to rejoice in the remembrance of Peter and Paul, an example of faith for us, and the countless saints that have been living for 2,000 years, showing us that same outpouring of faith, that we may say every moment of our lives, "You are Christ, Son of the living God." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.